Had you actually read the email, you would know that the podcast you are about to listen to could contain explicit language
and offensive content.
These HR experts' views are not representative of their past, present, or future employers. If you have ever heard, "My manager is unfair to me,"
"I need you to reset my HR portal password,"
or
"Can I write up my employee for crying too much?"
Welcome to our little safe zone. Welcome to Jaded HR.
Welcome to Jaded HR, the podcast by two HR professionals
and one sales pro.
We want to help get you through the workday by saying all the things you are thinking, but say them out loud. I'm Warren.
And this is Feathers.
I'm Stuart.
The sales guy.
The devil. It's the devil, Bobby Boucher.
But yeah, we're going to have some fun today. I've been challenged. The gloves are off. Stu can say whatever the hell he wants to me, about me, whatever. We've known each other 30 plus years, so I don't think he can really hurt my feelings.
Y'all are old.
Anymore at this point.
They're broken. If I'm not mistaken, you said that your family's on the table. I can insult anybody, anything.
Go for it. Go for it.
Maybe not. All right.
So this, as always, we want you to continue to support our show. You can be like our original HR rock star, Hallie, and be a Patreon supporter. You can leave a review. Please do that. And you can tell a friend or contribute a story. Actually, one of the many episodes we're going to have is we got a lot of response on our Instagram posts that Feathers and I will go over at one of our future shorties. So anyways, that's what we've got. So I want to... I brought Stuart on here. As I said, we've known each other for 30 plus years now, and we look damn good, like we did when we were 18.
It's terrifying. You know? I do have the yeoman's amount of hair in this podcast.
Two baldies and a dude with hair.
Could be another podcast.
Mine's by choice.
That's true.
Mine was by God's choice. So. We could do with that. Let's see here. So one of the things everybody knows I've ragged upon sales pros for any number of reasons. I actually had yet another sales call today, which I got irritated with when I was on the phone. Then he hung up on me. And once again, cha-ching, I win when you hang up on me. But I do want to differentiate between good salespeople and the idiots that us in HR have to deal with. We've got the best performance management system ever. Or this is how I know how a phone call is going to go. I answer the phone, and I know you're very busy, so I just want to schedule time sometime down the road in the next week for just a 30-minute so we can schedule more. I know what that it's like every company. They've gone to some sales seminar and written that script down from a PowerPoint. And I can only
Hey, guys, this is a good one. Let's write this one down. This is awesome.
I do have a question. So how does it, I don't mean to throw off the cadence here, how does a sales guy get your attention? Because I always thought that last one may have been one of respect. Like, hey, I get you're busy, but do you have any time in the next week or so?
No, initially... It does sound cool, but when every other person is doing it, when I literally will hear that same bite 3-4 times in a week when I answer the phone, it's the exact same line. So
all the other kids are doing it too. All the other kids are doing it.
I want to be cool, Mom. Buy me the Nikes, not the McGregors.
The McGregors.
I'm not even sure what that is.
There's some off-brand tennis shoe. Okay,
that
true
was like
story.
A paper sold tennis shoe.
I was on the basketball team in junior high, and I did not have Nikes. I had McGregor's, and I'm on the foul line taking a foul shot, which I was inevitably going to miss, as I was a horrible player. And I was wearing McGregor's, and I made it. And somebody yelled from the stands, "It's got to be the shoes." And yeah. You know, like, I think that was a Nike commercial at the time in the 80s or whatever it was. It's got to be the shoes. I think that was the only one point I made that entire game, is I was such an awesome. My advantage was the tallest kid in junior high. That's the advantage.
You have one more point in your career than I have in mine.
Yeah. Like I said, I was the tall kid in our tiny junior high. So, yeah. And I'm not that tall of a dude. So, I think y'all are both taller than me, if I think right. But anyways. So, yeah, no, it's dealing with good salespeople and bad salespeople. And I don't, what's going to motivate me? First, honestly, I can't think of any time I've received a cold call, either at work or in person, somebody trying to get my attention to buy me something that I actually thought was halfway interesting or worth my time. Right. If you can think you have the problem to whatever imagined solution I have, but you don't if you're just cold calling me. So I don't know. And the worst are still the staffing agencies that come into. We had one come in this week, and I told him, I told the receptionist, I'm not going to meet with them. And then he asked if he could have my business card. I told him no. And I was like, no, I'm not going to. Why? No, I don't want to have your business card. You don't just walk in and presume you can take a couple minutes of my time.
All right. So Feathers, A. Warren, like based on what you just said about the good and the sales. So what, in your opinion, I guess, and I'm asking before I answer this, because I'm curious, what makes a good salesman to you? Because I'm intrigued. I've been doing this for 25 years. The only way that I think I could approach, I would never approach you via the phone, obviously. That's swing and a miss. But what is a good salesman to you? What, again, Feathers, where would you go? And Warren, where would you go with that? I'm curious.
This is a podcast, and the visuals are not PG rated right now.
Warren, I'll let you answer Stuart's question first.
See, I really don't know. I have never successfully been solicited. If there's something I want, like when I did get a new HRIS system 2 years ago, I did my homework, I looked at their research, and then I contacted them. And I contacted people on my LinkedIn. I said, hey, who uses this company? Who uses that mm-hmm. company? And I didn't ask, what do you use? Because I didn't want to get 300 different answers.
Right.
I wanted to find out who uses the specific one. And I chit-chatted with them individually. And so I would want a warm lead. And even some people say, hey, my person is Stuart. And if that case, if that ended up being one of the companies I continued to pursue, then I would contact you for that. But just cold calling and catching me off the blue and probably something I don't want, don't need, something like that. And then it's a turnoff.
How about you, Fellas?
Well, I think I'm a little bit different situation because I'm not the one that's actively solicited within my company. But I think what makes a good salesperson is obviously, and this is the most non-jaded answer, is just the ability to build good relationships and understand the value of time and the value of communication and providing solutions and not kind of just stringing me along.
Okay, so yes. So from my perspective, like Warren, there are some people that you just can't solicit, like, right? And I think you fall in that category because the reality is I mean, we've known each other for 30 years and the reality, I don't think that you would even take my call.
Like, I'd always take your call.
Experience. So
Stuart's calling. No.
Exactly. So no, but I do think from a salesperson perspective, when I'm looking at calling on a cold call, that is probably the worst scenario. And they're really not even trying to sell you at that point. They're really just trying to meet you, right? They're not actually trying to close any business. They're not trying to get you to go to the next part of the sales process. They're literally trying to get your time. Hence the, do you have 30 minutes in the next year and a half that we can sit down and I can introduce myself and what's going on, right? And so Feathers, to your point, the bottom line is good communication, quick, to the point, answering questions up front and getting your point across. I think it's interesting that when you have such a vitriol towards sales guys, how do you stay on top of industry standards or changes in the industry or technology changes?
We don't. And we just come here and complain about it.
Feathers, I feel like asking him what paper he subscribes to, because like it's like there's some people out there that want to tell you about this, and you can listen and go, meh, no, it's a 10-minute meeting, you're out. Or you could do, you know, or a 5-minute phone call.
That's another thing. I have actually taken on some of these calls, these, you know, 15-minute meetings or whatever, turn into a lot more, and then I get the, and they're never doing what you're suggesting. They're going straight in to, this is what I have, this is what we do, here's my hard sale right now.
Yeah.
And if you do it today, I can save you. Okay, and that, when you do shit like that, if you tell me yes today, I can give you, well, what's the difference today and tomorrow? It doesn't cost you anything less. You know, what we're talking about are basically services, and they don't cost you anything more tomorrow than they do today. And when you start that hard sell type of stuff with me, even if you got me this far interested, like just the millimeter interested, and then you turn on the sales spiel,
right.
No, you've lost me again.
What and, you're seeing, so the culture of the company, and, mm-hmm. and what you're seeing is does the culture of the company push the sale versus the relationship? Does that make sense? Like the idea of
absolutely.
get it on the board. That's where that comes from. That's not the person. That's the culture of the company, which is unfortunate.
I can absolutely agree with that, because the culture, they hire to that culture.
Yeah.
So they're hiring that pushy person who is going to be in there getting that sale on the first call. Versus someone, we just changed benefit brokers. Now, we already had a relationship with the company who ended up winning our business, but they really sat down and talked to us where almost some stereotypical, where are your pain points and things like that. But once you start getting the cliche stuff, like where are your pain points? How can I assist? That's another trigger for me that you're selling me when you use cliche words like that. But when you actually do try and understand me and where I'm going and what I want to do and take the time rather than here's my sale right now. I don't want that stuff down my throat. I want.
I'm sorry. Take the time to understand you, Warren. We've been trying for years.
I'm glad you said that.
No, I
was going to go that route. So
I'm like, really? As I scratch my head, I'm like, I don't know yet.
Warren, no sales company pays that much commission over an annual basis. It's not worth your time. Definitely. I do get what you're saying. I just want to say, the idea is, I think that it also depends on the field of sales that you're in, right?
Absolutely.
If you're looking at cars, commodities, things like that, that's the one, that's where that comes into play. But the reality is, I think the more detailed, be it an IT program, be it medical sales, specific medical sales, device, robot sales, things like that. If you're going through those things, I think you're looking at a much more nuanced sales. I'll tell you something right now. There's no harder customer than Warren. You're probably. I would still love a chance to cold call you one day just to see what happens. Feathers, we set that up where you and I can sit down and give me his work phone number, and I'm going to call him on a random call and see what I can do. But the truth is, the nuanced sales.
I would recognize your beautiful voice in a heartbeat.
I'll do something. I'll inhale helium. I'll do something. But the bottom line is there are some people that are very difficult to sell to, surgeons, CFOs, people like that. Feathers, I know the people that you deal with from your CFOs and your C-suite that you deal with are probably remarkably hard-headed sometimes at some point. They have their cultural thought process. That the nuance of sales, and the reason I actually love this so much is because it's like you're putting pieces together. You're looking at the solution, whether it be Warren, your business, or Feathers, your business, or my business. It's you're putting together an idea of what fits this person's needs. And that's really how I teach my team to sell, is that you've got so many puzzle pieces. Don't force the puzzle piece in the puzzle. Let them tell you where to put it, right? That's the idea. If that makes sense.
I'll tell you where to put it.
Yeah, exactly.
I was waiting. I was like, oh, here it comes.
Could I have teed that up any higher?
Put that one on a tee.
That's a, oh man. Got to be on my toes.
I absolutely understand what you're saying. And I just don't think in the industries that solicit HR, whether it's a HRS system, whether it's a staffing agency, insurance companies, etc. I don't think that most of those people are as thoughtful in the process. I think they are, let's get some numbers on the board versus, let's develop this relationship. Let's figure out where, if I had somebody who I thought was truly a partner with me and would help be there helping me, if I had somebody who took the time to develop a relationship and actually understand, but I have not really gotten that from anybody who's tried to reach out to me. And like you said, I do think it's industry specific. I think the HR industry is a lot of quick bucks. Let's turn and burn type of sales versus the relationship building. If I had someone who did what you said, they'd probably be able to get some of my business. But I am going to be hard to get through that front door if you contact me. My company, we have a live person answering the phones, and they know my thing on solicitors. We don't have direct dial numbers, thank God. So you call and should say, Warren, it's a solicitor from XYZ company. And sometimes I actually do say yes just to hear the first minute of this spiel. And if not, I say no. But the dude who called me today actually called me on my personal cell phone, which leads me to something else I'm going to talk about later today, and offered me something I'm completely not interested in. And so he hung up on me, but game on if you're calling my cell phone.
If he was a Saudi prince that needed you to send him cash, don't do it, dude. Don't do it. But what I was going to tell you was I actually had a situation when I was really young in my career. This is back in like 1998. I was calling on.
You know, government. Most of our listeners weren't even born then.
Bear with me. I didn't have a cell phone either, so this is even more brutal. I went in and I was calling on a department of the Virginia state government, and I had a meeting where the individual, I sat down, he took my meeting, I sat down with him, and he said, do you know our business strategy? And I looked, I was like, no, what? I do not. And he handed me a binder about 3 inches thick, and he said, read this and make another appointment. When you read this, you can make the appointment. And I went back and I read it cover to cover. And in about 3 weeks later, I made another appointment, and we actually got along very, very well, because I think I might have been one of the only sales rep ever to actually implement his strategy and read his strategy. But it was brilliant. It was, in my opinion, it was like, if you really want this business, you're gonna have to work for it. And it was fantastic.
What were you selling?
It was information technologies back in the day when I was local IT.
I was hoping it was like copy machines. So I read your strategy, and you need the XL 3000. Yeah,
you still need a 35-minute copier. Yeah.
It's got automatic staples and everything. It's great.
Again, not to get in another story, but fellas, I had another moment where I called on a gentleman 3 or 4 times in a row, and we'd always get to the close. And I was like, so what do you think? And he said, this looks great. And he just left it there. And I kept saying, all right. And I would leave. And then I would come back again. The same, he would take it again. He said he was an attorney. And we sat down and it would always get to the same point. This looks great. And finally, I got frustrated. And on the fourth meeting, I said, I don't understand. I've given you everything that we've done. You say it looks great. What's his next step? He goes, you haven't asked me for the sale. 4 meetings. And I said, would you sign this? He goes, I sure will. And he pulled over and signed it. I was like, I was so angry.
He was having fun with you.
Well, yeah, but the whole point was this guy taught me probably one of the best lessons. And again, this is one of these things Warren, I guarantee there are people that are walking away from you hanging up on them or them hanging up on you going, probably shouldn't have hung up that phone. Probably shouldn't have hung up on that guy, or probably should have approached it differently or whatever. We're teaching these people how to do, by rejecting salespeople, you're actually teaching them how to do their job better. It's one of those weird things we do.
Okay. Then I'm the best teacher in the world.
Feathers, you don't deal with too many sales guys.
Overall. No, I don't personally. I would say my staff is not in the line of business we're in. I wouldn't necessarily consider them salespeople, but they do have to continuously build the relationship to hopefully get the brokers to submit things to us. So I think I would say it's an indirect active sales position without disclosing the industry I'm in.
I was just going to say that if there was a product that I needed and someone's willing to develop the relationship and show me that they want to work with me rather than the worst things are the staffing agencies. I think they are the absolute worst, the bottom of the bucket of salespeople because they see, I see you posted this job on Indeed. I've got 20 of those people right now. No, you don't. And, you know, they just want to end. And I even challenged one. I said, okay, send me 2 resumes right now. Oh, well, I can't do it right now. We need to have a fee agreement in place. I said, take all the name and stuff out. Oh, I can't do it. Okay, we're done. You know, when they start, they're lying and I call them out on it. It's almost fun for me when I have time to do it. But it's a different thing. I think if the good salespeople who develop that relationship, like I mentioned, we changed brokers, and I do like the broker that we have. Once again, we had an existing different relationship with them, and I've been nothing but happy through the whole sales process, through the development process. They haven't hounded, harassed me. And another thing, I think in the industries that I'm in particularly, it's they don't care enough. Here's another problem. The salesperson disappears after the sale's been made in a lot of the industries, new HRIS system. So they don't care anymore. They got their commission. They're gone and harassing the next person. If I do, like I said, about 2 years ago, I did purchase an expensive HRIS system and I like the company. I like the product, but I haven't heard from the salesperson since. And, you know, it was not inexpensive. Like most IT things are not inexpensive. And, you know, not that I want to hear from them again, but there was no relationship building. But once again, I'd done my homework. I basically knew what I wanted once I got to that point where I knew what I wanted to buy something, I needed that salesperson to take me to the next step. This is, you want mine versus theirs.
Right.
And this is why. And be logical and level pace and tell me no and when I start feeling the BS meter going off, I'm done. And that's basically how I operate. Well, but I do most of my own research on what I purchase without the need of a sales team.
Again, I think it's a nuanced sale, right? I mean, a few things about what you were saying. Number one, relate from the relationship standpoint and standing in and making sure you're following up with your customer post. Implementation or however you want to, whatever the selling, however you want to put it, that's actually mission critical. That I don't understand. I mean, I think great, you get your commission, but the bottom line is you got to maintain that relationship and maintain that account. And to me, again, maybe it's company culture. And that's why some of those some of the starting sales jobs are so cutthroat, like Feathers, to your point, selling copiers. Brutal business.
But if you succeed there, you can go anywhere.
Well, I've done it. And I can tell you, after I sold, part of my routes were I'd go in and just check in my current customers. Is everything working okay? Because it was one of those things that I think it's mission critical on making sure that the buyer feels good about it, about what they did. And if they feel good about what they did, guess who they're going to go to next time? You know, it's a long-term play versus when the people are coming in and just burning through customer relationships and things like that, Warren, they're in for the short term, in my opinion. That's
And it is. And go ahead, name one company, Aflac. They are the worst in solicitors and they hire these poor kids straight out of college and they just tell you, they assign them a territory, I'm assuming. And they go door to door a lot of times, even now post pandemic or whatever, they're starting it again. And those kids straight out of college with no training, just go to door to door and say you're with Aflac and try and say, that seems like what they do. you're with Aflac. Here's a brochure. Here's some sales. Here's some business cards. Go to door to door and see if you can get a sale. And they're not prepared to meet someone like me and things like that. And I felt bad for one
favorite
little
comment
girl.
Of the night. I think they're not ready to meet someone like me.
I think physically and mentally, they're both like, oh wow.
How the fuck did y'all survive knowing me for this long?
He's angry. He's angry.
No, but I actually felt bad later because I just happened to be walking through the lobby when they came in and heard they're asking for me. I said, okay, I'll talk to you. What do you got? I'm Aflac. I said, Aflac, not interested at all. And she said, well, what? I said, I'm very familiar with the product. I have zero interest. And I was, you know,
but our commercials
are
so great. Yeah.
The duck's killing it.
Yeah.
The duck is killing
Send
it.
Send me the duck. No. I did feel bad, but I was walking from one end of the building to the other, and I went through the lobby, and it just happened to be the exact same time, and nope, not interested at all. Sorry, goodbye. And they sent them out with no training, and a cold call walking in the door like that, just I think that's poor form to do that. Well, so go ahead.
I was just going to say, back in the copier days, when you had a minimum of 100, and some of these things are, this is behind the scenes stuff that a lot of people don't know. It's like 100 cold calls a day is what you had to perform. So you walk up to someone that has a no solicitation sign. Blah. that's moved aside. I'm not soliciting. I'm asking a question. And it was awful. And I felt just as bad as anybody in that room when I walked in that room. Trust me. And again, it's company culture. When you see a bad salesperson, I think, yes, it could be the salesperson. I'm not giving all the excuse there, but the truth is I think you see a lot of desperation on the idea of it's the dartboard method, right? If you just take a handful of darts and throw it enough times, something's going to hit the bullseye eventually. And
right.
That seems to me like what you're dealing with on a daily basis, which
is
kind of.
No, that is. I think that is.
Well, Stuart, let me ask you a question, yes, sir. Minus like their sales experience. So they've been selling for 5, 10, 15 years, whatever. Walk me through what an interview process looks like for you. Like what are you looking for?
It's a great question. So I'm a little bit unusual in the fact that.
Well, we know that already.
Well, aside from the amazeball eyelashes, we've acknowledged that.
We have not mentioned that this is the eyelash king referenced multiple times on our podcast.
So this is when I wish this was a visual. All of this, and you mentioned the eyelashes. Come on.
It was my wife.
That's what you got going for you.
Right.
That's what you got going for you. That's it.
Yeah. I remember my wife. What great eyelash. But anyway, it's a great question.
Procreate with them.
Because a lot of people, we look at the B2B, I'm in medical sales, and we look at B2B business and experience. I like to see 5 years experience, but I have different tiers though, Feathers. I have associates that are kind of support personnel in the field as well as account managers. For account managers, I want a lot more medical experience, but for associates, I'll get anyone who I feel has the drive and experience I'm looking for. But the odd thing about me, I don't have a lot of skill, but one of the skills that I think I have is I read people fairly well, not great, but fairly well. And I want someone that's motivated. If you give me someone that's smart and hardworking, we can teach the product, right? Mm-hmm. And that's really what I'm looking for is a good communicator, smart, hardworking. Outside of that, I'm not some person like we've had weird experiences where I found somebody that had like 20 years sales experience, but didn't graduate college. In the field that we're in, and I was told you can't go forward. This culture here has changed. So that was years ago, but it was that moment of, that don't make any sense to me. And so I'm a little bit more down to earth on my hiring process. I do ask some weird questions. What was the last book you read and what did you learn from it? That's a zinger. But my favorite answer to that is I don't read. That's amazing.
That'd be my answer.
You're hired. You will not understand the comp plan whatsoever when I give it to you because you're not going to read
it. Exactly. You get a 50% increase. Oh, well, that's the way it is. You're not reading it. No, but in reality, it's a great question. I really do look for, though, I need the business intelligence. I need someone that understands what they do and why they do it, and then we can teach them the product. That just comes second.
Yeah.
So you're almost hiring for an attitude.
Yeah. It's a better way to put it. I hire for the person, not the position necessarily, the skill set, I guess. Really, because don't get me wrong, if you have no...
the right person you can train.
Yeah, correct. But if you have like zero experience, we'll start at the associate level.
Sure.
But I'm also very much with my team, I'm very much promotion minded. I think I've had at the last 5 years, 7 promotions. I mean, like they've rated my team, but in a good way. They've all mm-hmm. moved up. But it's one of those things that it just gives you a chance to give other people good opportunities. There, one gentleman I just hired has 20 years Navy experience and is transitioning out of the military. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. What a great opportunity.
Right.
Right. And
right.
The
disciplines there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah. Yeah. In a nutshell, that's kind of what I'm looking for. I like that I'm hiring for the attitude. I'm going to steal that. That's very good.
So I'm about to share with you all. This is a cut and paste from email I received. I don't know if I discussed this on the show earlier before. I don't know if y'all can read this online. This is something a staffing agency sent me this, and this is what it reads. I'm sharing the screen with them, this thing. We specialize in staffing for the following job disciplines: accounting, administrative professionals, database management, designers, data processing, electricians, engineering, executive management, human resources, information technology, marketing, mechanics, nurses, physicians, operations management, pipe fitters, plumbers, project managers, programmers, QA, sales, skilled trades, technician, welders, and much more.
Hookers.
I don't know what much more.
That's where I was like, is there anything that you don't specialize in?
No, that's exactly it. And when your dipshit staffing agency says we specialize in all of this, it means you don't specialize in anything. McDonald's is more fucking specialized than what you are doing right now. I mean, they specialize in hamburgers and in handheld food versus whatever else.
I want to call them and be like, I need a pipe fitter, a nurse, and a data processor.
Immediately.
Yes. I need resumes now.
All in one person if you have it.
Yes.
But this was an actual email.
Skills, that's a plus.
I only have one. We're in a hospital that has a backed up toilet. She has to input data. That's all I got to say. Or he has to input data. But yeah, that's hysterical.
But this is as bad as it is in the HR world with the solicitations. They think we're going to default. Oh, I got to call this company right now. And anyways,
I'm going to point to marketing on this, though. I'm going to be very honest with you. You look at this. This is a marketer's problem. This is not a sales guy's problem. This is marketers have done this and given this to a salesperson. Go sell this. We need sales.
Send these emails.
Yeah, anything.
We need welders, pipe fitters.
But they specialize in marketing, too. They should get the best. They should have the best marketing people as well.
I can't read it. Does it say they specialize in sales?
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. Sales, does. Skilled okay. technicians, skilled trades technicians, welders. I mean, they don't seem to have zoologists, I don't believe, unless that falls under
much more.
I don't see pilots either. Pilots is what I go through.
Yeah.
Lots of
old damn it.
Astronauts.
They don't have that. So
I definitely think attorneys should be on this list.
That's what we have to deal with. So we've shit on the bad sales folks, and we talked about what makes a good salesperson. But I want to talk a little bit into the true HR world a little bit with you, Stu, and talk about in HR interaction.
So
why do you hate us? I need a new safe place from dealing with marketing and sales.
HR for HR. That's where this is.
So
why are the salespeople so mean?
So I will say this. I can answer that pretty much in one statement. And it's where do most of your problems come from? Where do most of your problems come? Is it the sales force? Most likely, yes.
Yeah, you answered my question. Yeah. I worked at a company that had a sales team, sales people had a lot. And that's where I was going with this, because hiring, we talked about a little bit, but keeping them motivated and engaged, a good salesperson, and retained is a whole different, it's completely different than your, you know, hiring an accountant or hiring an HR person.
You're screwing our comp plan every year.
Oh, no, my ankle bracelet.
I got too far away.
Sorry.
First sales call. Podcasting,
Stu's getting a sales call.
Turn that off. Sorry about that. No. Happened to be on Joe Rogan, too, so whatever.
Oh, yeah, you had to slum with Joe Rogan first.
Were you doing a commercial for him or something?
Yeah, I mean, whatever. Now, he called me if he wanted an interview. It was either him or, you know, whatever the other top podcast is. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, the question was, though, getting back to
hiring, motivating, and retaining your sales force. And here's my experience. Well, I worked with a company that did have a sales team, and a lot of the drama we had to deal with, a lot of the BS we had to deal with, were salespeople.
Yes.
And salespeople being catty with each other,
yes,
cutthroat with each other.
Yes.
And to a certain extent, you want that from your sales team, but also you have to maintain order and procedure. I don't know what the right word is. You have to maintain, manage. You have to manage it. You have
discipline.
To manage the situation.
Right.
Discipline the situation. So,
it's interesting because, again, I think culturally things have changed in the sales team. Back in the day, I mean, if you've ever seen Glenn Ross, if you've ever seen Boiler Room, any of these hardcore sales movies where it's second place is a set of steak knives and third place is you're fired, right? And that's for the most part, when you get in more for a professional sales environment, those things are gone. And really, if you want to go in the more the initial sales environment, it really is about closing the sale, the dollars that you bring in, the money they pay you, you get out the door as quickly as humanly possible. When you get more of a professional environment where it's more as we discussed, the relationship sales, feathers, as we discussed, communication, and a little bit more in-depth processes, that's where it changes a little bit. And it gets a little bit more, I'd say, exciting. It gets a little bit more, you're in it for the sale now, and you're in it for the process, because no one goes to college for sales, right? There's not a sales degree. So you sort of end up there, oh, I don't know, if you got a criminal justice degree. I'm not saying anyone on the phone this call has one, but I know at least one does. So yeah, but like me, for instance. So the bottom line is, you sort of end up in a position where you can use personality and some of your traits to do better than you would in the degree you graduated with. So bottom line is as you get to that point, I think that's the motivator. That's the driver. You want to do better. And to be honest, it's still about money. The reason why people do this is because they get paid for their performance. It really is. And when you do start seeing cutthroat items like, well, this is my account, or this is my account, or this is the territory line, I have seen reps go into other people's territories and sell. And again, this is in the beginner sales part, but they need the sell, right? The sale. So they go in and they find the sale in someone else's territory, and then they offer to split it with the individual that, or maybe not even offer to split it. They just take it. But, you know, it is what it is. But I think, again, as it gets more nuanced and as the sale gets more detailed, and I do think that people start to recognize that you're not just providing a product. You're not selling a car, right? In some situations, you're selling product that make people heal, that make people healthier. There's advantages in certain financial firms, whatever it might be, right? Better HR systems, Warren. But once you get to that level, that I think is what it really does motivate the reps when they get on their own. Does that make sense? They finally found their professional id, right? They're getting after it. I don't know.
Well, here's I was doing technical recruiting someplace once upon a time. And everybody knew what everybody else made. They had a whiteboard, and like on the sales team, the sales team, you had this, and this is your sales, this is your commission, and things like that. And they used it as a motivator. And they'd had the same thing for recruiters. And that was a motivator for me because I knew I didn't want to be anywhere towards the bottom of that list. And I would work harder to make sure as a recruiter, I was on the upper end of that list versus the lower end of that list. And a couple times I topped it. And, you know, I don't think I was ever at the bottom. A couple times I had some slumps and was at the lower than I wanted to be, but that just made me get up there and recruit more. So what is your thought? Is that, do you think that is a good modern practice? That was once again, the 90s. Do you think that's a good modern practice?
100%. Ranking systems are phenomenal. I can tell you right now, I'm number two in the country. It eats me alive every day. We're number two. It is what it is. Ranking systems,
And when is the hit on number one going to be carried out?
I will be buying the keg at the tailgate, my friend. It's one of those things that I think that what we do for a living is competitive. Every day I compete not just with competing products, but I compete with people within my own company. Now, the funny thing is I will help them win whatever I can because still the company vision is much more important than my district, you know, achievement. But at the same time, it kills me to go, we've never finished last, right? That's never been a thing, but it's been out of 11, maybe districts, it's been maybe in the eights or nines, and it's painful. I mean, but I think if you're a competitive person, and we all know each other, you guys know me pretty well, I'm a pretty competitive guy. I don't outwardly do it a lot, but internally it's pretty... Visuals make the podcast, folks. Visuals make the podcast. I think the ranking system is phenomenal. Chris, the worst part is I'm number two in more ways than one in some people's eyes. It sucks. No, but sorry. Yeah, but the bottom line is, yeah, the ranking system, I think it's one of the age-old practices, and people will, it's a motivator. It's a big one.
Now, what about that person who might be a decent salesperson who gets butthurt about their name being on the board and they're average, mediocre to average, but they get butthurt and they have to cry every 2 minutes because they're 6 out of 10 versus 1 out of 10 and they're trying their hardest and they're doing, you know, whatever. But what have you ever had to encounter someone like that?
It's funny you said that. I did. I had a rep that I inherited that worked for me for a little bit that was here for four years, no longer at the company, but worked for 4 years, missed quota 3 years in a row, transferred into another territory and hit quota and started referring to himself as a top performer. And okay. he would begin statements to me like, well, as a top performer, and give me his opinion. And it got to the point of I had to have a sit down with, and again, this goes back to company culture and leadership, right? I mean, it's one of those things that you've got to sit down and you've got to confront it. You can't let that fester. That's one of those things. And I am a straight shooter. And if I say this, I'm looking at both of you waiting for the, shit face. He didn't say that to him, but I did. I sat down and I said, so let's talk about this whole situation. And he said, well, as a top performer, I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. How long have you been here? He says, oh, 4 years. How many times have you hit quota? Once. You're a quota achiever. let's reset that expectation. Like you are not a top performer. You know, people have been here a lot longer than you, hit quota a lot more than you, and they're still learning every day. So understand that. So I had that direct conversation with him. And yeah, man, it is one of those things that I think that you deal with salespeople that have ego. We all do because of the competitive thing. And it just comes with the territory. And I don't care if you're selling uniforms. I don't care if you're selling copiers. I don't care if you're selling, you know, robots, dressings, airplanes. It doesn't matter. There's ego involved in this. There just is. Ortho, knees, any of that.
Absolutely. And ego, we talked offline, the company where we hired salespeople, we had them take a predictive index test. And we weren't looking for any one thing in particular. We were looking for a general, broader picture. And it worked out for the most part. And then we also tested it against our top performers and who we had, and they all had that same characteristic level. And it really? So it proved out, and it worked. It worked. And ego is one of the things. You want that person who accepts challenges and things like that, where maybe in accounting, you don't want that person that's going to have the ego driven and things like that. So it's interesting. I think that the hiring and motivation of salespeople, and that it's more motivation than just the commission, but the commission is what you're there for. I mean, you know, I was little, and I'm not in sales, obviously, but my father did sales for a while, and he said, there's two ways to make money, own the company or sell for the company. And those are the two ways you can make sales money, a ton of money.
It's a legitimate point. I mean, that's the whole point. Top salespeople make very, well, again, depending on the field, make very good money. But if you're number one at what you do, I mean, that's why that ranking system matters more right there. If you're number one at what you do, well, you know,
it's because you're the necessary evil.
Right.
I need you because I need the company to be profitable, because we as HR professionals, we don't make the company money. We can find ways and solutions to help save money, potentially reallocate, do different things like that. But I need you assholes out there selling products and getting your egos all boosted because I'm the top performer. But I need you. Like, that's, you're the evil. Yeah. I'm the evil in your eyes, and you're the evil in my eyes.
But I will say that's a fun, fellas, that's a great point, because we've sat there before in HR, you know, because every national sales meeting, you have compliance come in, you have HR come in, and they always go through their spiel. And it is actually, I think as you get older, you tend to appreciate it more. But the the funny thing is the HR people are the same way. So the comp plan's going to change a little bit. We didn't do this, so stop before check you even up. Get there, like, stop. I will say this, I think that, again, people that have been in the business in any kind of sales role for a long time will appreciate what HR does. They may not love it. Sometimes it really is, it's a sales speed bump sometimes, but at the same time, it's like compliance. It's the same sort of thing. I mean, in my field, I'm no longer allowed to give, by government regulation, anyone a pen. I have never known one time a surgeon go, look, I think we got to go with this guy's products because these are great pens. Like, that's never been a thing, right? But
it's the Coke you put inside the pen.
Warren, don't be running industry secrets on a podcast. Man. That's crazy.
I mean, how are they doing surgeries for 22 hours straight?
I don't know that.
Like, wow. I'm glad there when I need it.
Yeah, that crashed and burned. But I think that it is a codependent program, because HR is there to find you good people. They are there to help you out. But I think that, again, I manage a sales team now, so I deal a lot more with HR than I think the field does, but it is, I think compliance has a worse reputation than HR any day of the week.
Compliance. Good. There's somebody out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're number two.
Finally. First time in my life, I'm happy to be number two.
Well done.
So, here's a question for both of you.
That's funny.
And I've encountered this in my professional career. You have one of your absolute, without a doubt, top performers out there, but they are a shitty employee. And how much do you expect as a salesperson or sales manager for that person to get away with being a shitty employee and basically a shitty human being on top of it, versus when do you actually have to take action and say, okay, it's becoming cancerous, it's got to be cut out? For where is that line between, okay, we're going to let this slide because they're our top performer, where, and then we let it slide to, oh, they are now a cancer to us, so we got to get them out? Where and how do you determine that? Is top salespeople can get away with a ton of shit.
I don't know. I'll just say, I have seen this in more than one scenario. I have seen this specifically, I was lucky enough it wasn't my sales team, but I have seen people tell their district manager, I don't need your help. Typically it's to a new district manager. I don't need your help. Go ride with somebody else. Go ride with someone that needs it. I'm killing it. I'm doing this. And then they basically are a toxin on the team. They just, a cancer, if you will. They just go in and every aspect of what the new person's doing is wrong. And then it's just, you know, there is no, they're not used to it. There's the management style's not right. They're too detailed, whatever it might be. And they never, ever last, but so long. It's just the truth. I have seen people come through and it may be a year, it may be a year and a half, but 9 times out of 10, I've seen them place themselves out of the position. And it is a loss because, again, they can, you know, if they're a top salesperson, they are making the company some revenue. But at the same time, a toxic top performer can really screw up an entire sales team. And they'll, whatever inroads they're making are being diluted by the impact on the team. I hope that makes sense. But so I would move them. I would move a top performer out if they had that kind of attitude remarkably quick. I'm, again, I may be the abnormal person because there's money coming in. But if they're, the key is the toxic to the team piece. I was laughing. I have a friend of mine, good friend of mine, Mark. I'll just use the name Mark Feathers. You know, Mark, he gave me a piece of advice one time as a joke. Hey, this is a joke. Before I say this out loud, it is a joke.
Disclaimer.
Disclaimer. No. When I walked into my sales team, I said, how do you make an impact? And he said, what you want to do is you want to walk in and go, who's the top performer in the room? And they raise their hand. Like, are you fired? As they all look at you, you go, if I did that to him or her, what will I do to you if you don't perform? And he said, the fear will be palpable. And I was like, well, that may not be the best way to go. So we're going to go.
So I'm gonna frown on that one. I'm gonna say that's probably in the Jada world. I think it's fucking awesome. Like I would just
management out. By fear and oppression.
This is why I think you guys have hit on a $1 million idea with the Jaded idea. This Jaded sales would be a hell of a follow up to this podcast.
It's
the new Jaded Empire.
Jaded Empire. I was so
Jaded Plumbers. We specialize on that.
Jaded pilots again. I'll go back to the pilot thing.
Jaded proctologist with the hook arm.
Bunch of asshole.
I was waiting on it. It was right here. I didn't say it. It was right here.
Well, we have really, boy, we've gotten up for 2 episodes right here. Anything else that you want to, as we start to land this plane finally, anything else you want to say that we haven't already covered yet?
I think that you, what you guys are doing on this podcast is awesome. I've been listening to it since you got started. I'll say that it's fun to hear the stories, and some of the best stories come out of this podcast on just the HR situations you guys find yourself in. I was reading an article before we came on about an individual that has his body 98% tattooed and was shocked that he was moved out of his customer service role, face-to-face customer service role. And I just think about you guys all the time about what we do, especially in my everyday activity, the way we approach things, the way we say things to, you know, our employees and we provide it's good that you guys are out there doing this, and the HR professionals have a way to discuss this, trying to tear down the walls of vitriol between sales and HR, because it actually, when they work together, I'm lucky in the sense that my company has a good relationship with HR. I'm lucky in the fact that I've seen when it works well, it works phenomenal. And it's cool to see you guys out here doing this.
Yeah. I mean, just like salespeople, there are some shitty HR people out there. God bless. I'm like, I'm not that person. I might not be good at my job, but I'm not that person.
Those are the people.
Both of you are, which is fun, Mom. That's why the podcast. So well done.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Will we have an episode later? I'm just going to throw this out there of just old stories we get together and tell.
I had to make Stu, you'll appreciate this. I had to make a phone call to an employee today who asked me to call. And I was like, hey, this is HR. And she goes, ooh, I still got shivers, even though I know I'm not in a bad situation because HR is calling me. And I'm like, you asked me to call you.
I'm returning your call.
And she still was like, ooh, HR is calling me. HR is calling me.
I think you got to own that, Feathers, and be like, and by the way, we have to talk.
Yeah. This sales professional gave me this advice. You're fired. You're a top producer because you really are a top producer. So you're fired.
You got to
go ahead and tell the rest of your team that I fired you.
The fear of God into the sales force. That's exactly right. But no, I appreciate it. You guys are doing a great job, and I do appreciate it. It's fun.
Well, thank you very much. We do appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll probably have you around a time or two. Maybe we will have an episode where we just share stories.
We need to do our happy hour episode and bring like cross professional, like different professions.
You will lose a massive amount of listeners if you bring on just fraternity stories.
If we tell just the stories that involve the three of us, we will be, Rogan's ass up and down.
That's just the stuff that's happened this season.
God, that's a good point. Yeah, okay.
All right. Fair enough.
I'm all in. Well, anyway, thanks a lot. Again, great job. You guys are killing it. I think with this, sales call, you guys are going to be just killing it. Like, I've listened to every episode too. Please, for God's sake.
Now that we've edited an hour out of the podcast.
Poor Warren tomorrow night. Dawn's going to be like, are you done yet? I'm still editing Stu out.
We want to definitely thank Stu for being here. I'm very sure we'll have him back again at some point. But if you like the show, you can once again support us in one of four ways. Be a Patreon, leave us a review, tell a friend, or contribute a story. As always, our intro and outro is Devil with the Devil by the _ Orchestra. And as always, I didn't do a best practice. Who's got a best practice?
I don't have a best practice, but I will say this. If you need a fundraiser, I am willing to take pictures of my eyelashes and sell them for you folks.
Ooh.
I'm just going to throw it out there.
My wife will buy those. Well, and I'm just going to
throw it out there, man. I mean, I
throw my own money.
It's been a topic like 10 times on this thing. And I'm just saying, there are probably some interested parties. They are fabulous and they are real.
I got a best practice, Warren. Continually cut the commission.
Continually cut commission. Best practice. Triple C. All right. Well, there's our best practice. And as always, I'm Warren.
And this is Feathers.
And I bring the charm. It's Stewart.
And we're here helping you survive HR one what the fuck moment at a time.
I thought there were payments being made here. I was looking at my PayPal.